Hey, y'all. Welcome. This is Winning at Life, Winning at Life Radio. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing, Gregory? Before we jump into the numbers and the great day that the market had and the stuff we planned for today, I got to admit, I'm still a little shook by two of the callers that we had yesterday. The two things that have been rattling around in my head from last night's show. Number one is the guy that called. He and his wife are 59. They're the same age. And she had an unexpected stroke, and now he's turned into this caretaker. Their income's halfway dropped off, and he didn't sound like he was completely prepared for something like that. And you know what? I'm not either. So that I think that probably applies to the guy listening, too. You could be a little more prepared, couldn't you? And yes, you think you're going to live forever, but so did they, and something bad happened to them in their 50s, right? Because we combine that with the stat we were talking about on Monday's show where the average age of widowhood starts at 55. So that's kind of been weighing on my mind. And the other one was William in Covington, who didn't have a big, complex, intricate problem. He was just like, dude, I'm worried about inflation. I see $2 trillion bill, now a $3 trillion bill. This was on top of the $4 trillion deficit we already had. So they're just going to print all this. And the laws of economics are immutable. You can't change them. It's going to happen. And he was just, that was on his mind. And you know what? I'm with you, William. That's on my mind too. Dang it. Now I got both of these guys just weighing me down with these situations that, you know, I'm just kind of happy-go-lucky skipping along. And then I got to start thinking about serious things. And I got to tell you, that's been on my mind for most of my waking hours since last night's show.
Yeah. That was a tough call. Situation there to answer for them, but we were able to give some help and guidance. But that's also why it's a concern that one out of four people don't have any savings, and that percentage kind of moves through all age groups. However you group people, that percentage shows up there, and that's why it's important to have savings and to realize your plan is probably going to be impacted or altered down the road, especially on what we see. And we've talked about this a lot, is a retirement date. You pick that point and that window down the road, say, okay, that's where it's going to be. And a lot of cases, it's going to be earlier. One, you can change your mind. That's one reason it happens. Another is the people you work for or business you're in, that becomes altered. They go, well, we've got to let a few people go, and I'm sorry, Jim Bob, we're going to have to let you go. Or the industry changes there, but something's changed there. Or in that case last night, the third reason is health dictates a change. We had a caller a few days ago, similar situation, and he was wanting to know what to do about benefits because he just didn't think he's going to be around that long. His health is deteriorating, and he was wondering what are some of the steps I should take, and he just didn't have confidence that he was going to be around for the long haul on that.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just this is usually a fun show where we talk about making money, and making money's fun, and we have some fun stories, but every once in a while we get serious and we have to get our boots a little muddy. So just letting you know that it's been a little bit of a burden sometimes, Gregory, carrying all these problems around. But let's do the numbers because this will put us in a better mood.
The numbers.
Welcome to the numbers segment on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today while you were out winning at life. And if you're looking for something to put you in a better mood, the S&P 500 can help you out with that. It crossed 4,000 for the first time today and finished at an all-time new record high. Hang on, I clicked off the window right as I was about to say it. So here's your all-time new record high for the S&P, 4,019.87 is where it finished. So it was 1.2% in the positive. The Dow Jones was up about 0.5%. NASDAQ was roaring today. It was 1.8% in the positive. That's not enough for a new record there, but the S&P, we're so proud of you. You grow up so fast. Wasn't this the fastest 1,000-point jump in the S&P's short little history here? And when I say short, it's only gone through to 4,000.
It is a nice way to start the second quarter. We had a nice finish to the first quarter of 2021. And once again, I'd say this was a good way to start the new quarter. to head on the rest of the year. So,
and we go into the long weekend, except for bonds. Didn't you say bonds trade for half the day tomorrow, but stocks are off?
Yep.
Yeah, you figured they'd go in sync, but whatever. What do I know?
10-year treasuries off a little bit today. We're at 1.673% on the yield. Crude oil's at $61.24. Brent crude, $64.65. Gold up a little, $1,730.30. And silver up as well, $25.04.
Okay, over on the short sheet, I have some answers to questions that we were scratching our head about earlier this week. Ford was down today. You'll see GM and Stellantis, formerly Chrysler, they both had great days. They were up 6.6% and 0.7%, but Ford was down 0.7%. And what is this based on? Did a little couple of clicks around, did a little reading, and there's a chip. There's the itty-bitty little chip that's supposed to go in the dashboard, and they ran out of them, so production lines have stopped. And as soon as they get some of these itty-bitty tiny little one piece of chip, Gregory, it's holding up the whole truck line for the best-selling vehicle in American history year after year after year after year after year for like 30 years running, holding the whole thing up for just a little bitty chip about this big, Gregory.
Well, they're not the only auto company dealing with shortages, and it's a global problem.
So that seems like it would be good for the chip business, but I'm not in that one. Rest of the short sheet.
I know, it's like, gosh, I should have set up a factory.
Right, right. Why aren't I in semiconductors already? So on a day when we had our indices in the positive and the S&P breaking 4,000 for the first time, look at all the red on the short sheet. It's literally almost half red. You can see there's the giant names were pulling everything. Ford, Microsoft's up 2.8%. Google's up 3.3%. Netflix up 3.4%. So our giants carried everything across the finish line today, at least on the short sheet.
Well, it once again, good way to start the really is.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with that as well. Looks like oil is trying to erase the memory that it could live under $60 a barrel, even for one day. It touched that 59 mark and it's had a steady jump up since then.
Well, once again, trading in this range that it likes. And it's going to be there, so you'll see it dip down. It's going to move up a few more dollars and then kind of stall. That's just kind of what it does, and I expect it to continue that for a little while.
We had some news that came out yesterday, and sorry I didn't read it. Just didn't get to it. The IRS has delayed your IRA and HSA contribution deadlines until May 17th. Now, this happens sometimes when we have somewhat financial emergencies. This isn't the first time it happened, but it gives you an extra month to make contributions to your IRA for 2020, not for this year, for last year. It also counts for your Roth IRA, your HSAs, and then they talk about something I'm not that familiar with in this FoxBusiness.com article, your Archer medical savings accounts and your Coverdale education savings accounts. That's in the guidance from the IRS. I cannot pretend to know what that is. The deadline is originally April 15th, and so then they just pushed it back for a month, and then May 17th is that Monday.
Well, that's good, and they should.
And we didn't cover everything that's in the infrastructure proposal, which is interesting because the infrastructure is about 8% of this bill. The rest of the spending is something else. Isn't that interesting? So in the American Jobs Plan, I thought what was interesting for this one, this is an 8-year initiative, Gregory. So that price tag of $2.25 trillion can be really misleading. They're not going to add $2.25 trillion to the deficit this year. They're going to spread that out over the next 8 years. But that also means they're going to be spending, what would that be, just a little under $300 billion a year for the next 8 years on this? I mean, it's huge, huge money, but just some thoughts there. Usually they do it maybe 10-year initiative. I just hadn't seen 8 years before. They kind of threw me off.
So the spending is spread over that period of time, or they're booking it now? How can that be changed? You know, when you put something out there, can that be changed? Could another administration change it along the way?
Yes. Yes. That rarely happens, though. Now they booked
a reset of Congress in 2 years. Change it?
There's not a lot of history of that happening. It's possible, but last year when they spent the extra $3 trillion on coronavirus, there was $1 trillion of that went unspent. And so it was already appropriated. You don't have to have an act of Congress to spend that, even though it was that money was appropriated last year. This Congress can still spend it. That seems like finessing the rules, doesn't it?
What are they going to spend it on? What was originally allocated? Or are you saying, well, it wasn't needed?
See, that's the way these things are written. That's so, I don't want to say shady, but it's the power is in the hands of the committee that decides where all this money goes. What they do is they appropriate it for healthcare. And then it goes to some agency, and then somewhere down the line, this bureaucrat's going to figure out where that money's actually finally going to go. So this just tells you what agencies the money's going to go to.
So it could later be spent to build a fence or wall?
It could.
Or is that kind of in the fine print? No, it can't be used for that in the future.
That doesn't seem politically favorable to the people who are in charge right now, but I guess...
I was just putting it out there, kind of like, you know, when there was... no money for a wall, but now we found $4 trillion. It's just a question.
Yeah, I couldn't find $4 billion for a wall, but $4 trillion, that's all right. Joining us right now, special guest Jackie Hughes from Cancer Crusaders. Now, this is an organization that you've probably been hearing on the commercial breaks of Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks for the last couple of months, promoting the upcoming golf tournament. So golfers... pay special attention, but you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy the 14th annual Mark Mitchell Golf Tournament. Welcome to the show, Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi, how are you? This is Jackie, and I have my co-chairman, Kim Hasney, with me. Hi.
Hey, ladies.
Thanks for having us on.
Oh, it's great to hear from you.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Oh, it's we're glad to have you. We're big supporters of the Cancer Crusaders, and it's just, you know, when we can help. And we wanted to hear a little bit about this golf tournament that is coming up on April 12th. I'm just looking at a piece here. It just has the wrong year here on it, but April 12th.
2021, April 12th.
Right, and it's a Monday at Bayou Oaks at the City Park South Course. Do you ladies play golf?
Yes, it is.
Y'all play any golf?
No, I'm a tennis player, but my husband, who they are honoring this year, Vic Hughes, has been an avid golfer since he was 10 years old. And he died of cancer a year ago, and they are honoring him this year.
Well, sorry to hear for your loss. But that's something playing golf since 10 years old. Did he ever get to play at the Bayou Oaks City Park course?
Oh, yes, he did.
Okay. Well, I bet he liked that.
He actually played golf. He played golf at Loyola. He was on the Loyola golf team when he went to college.
Oh, how cool is that?
He went to Jesuit High School. Yeah, he went to Jesuit High School. Didn't play golf at Jesuit. He played football and baseball. But then he played golf. His father was an avid golfer, Pell Hughes from New Orleans also. And they all, you know, avid golfers. And the last golf tournament that he played in was the Cancer Crusaders golf tournament in 2019.
Yeah, and that was something we're especially anxious to help you guys out this year. Gregory's been a supporter of Cancer Crusaders for years now. And we were promoting the golf tournament last year, and then it got postponed, and then it got postponed, and then it got canceled. And so we're kind of concerned, just like we're concerned about bars and restaurants and small businesses. Our charities have missed basically a year of fundraisers. Is there a special sense of urgency behind this year's golf tournament, or are y'all just trying to get back into the swing of things?
Well, actually, last year we had the golf tournament scheduled in April, and because of COVID, it moved to June. And because of COVID again, it moved to November. So we did successfully have the golf tournament at Bayou Oaks and in November, but our regularly scheduled tournament is this April 12th, and we're ready to go, and we've got full teams, and in memory of Vic, it's been really special.
I have to say, actually, Kim and I are sitting here at Benson's Restaurant. We're kind of broadcasting from Vincent's, but I have to say Vic's friends in the golf community have really turned out to support this cause. And all the money from this golf tournament and from Cancer Crusaders stays in New Orleans and goes to LSU and Tulane Cancer Research. So that's why this tournament is so important, because all the money does stay here in New Orleans.
And we're a totally volunteer organization, so we have no overhead. We all work out of our houses. We do everything just through volunteers. So it really helps the community by everything goes straight to LSU Tulane Research.
So what you just shared with us, is that the purpose of Cancer Crusaders, to support LSU and Tulane Cancer Center for cancer research? Is that kind of the core purpose?
Yes.
And so raised stays locally, and this is to work to impact cancer. Now, there's something else you do later in the year with Cancer Crusaders. There's a big event that happens, I believe, in the fall each year. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It's a luncheon at the Marriott Hotel, and so far we are still on board with having it, unless, you know, something changes with the COVID situation. I'm pretty sure it's September 24th, and it's at the Marriott. Don't make me be real sure on that date.
Okay.
But just to add, the guy who started this tournament had several bouts of melanoma cancer, and he had to go to Duke and Vanderbilt to be treated. So when he was released and cancer-free, he wanted to give back to the community and say, we need a local place for cancer patients to go. And so he kind of started the golf tournament with some other members of Cancer Crusaders. Mark Mitchell, for that very purpose. And through LSU and Tulane, Louisiana people can stay in Louisiana when they have to have extra special treatments for their cancer.
Okay, so there's an online place to go sign up for this if you want to contribute to this or get involved in this golf tournament. It looks like it's at bidpal.net/ccgolf. bidpal.net/ccgolf. Go ahead.
It's www.bidpal.net/ccgolf, and you can register for a foursome, a sponsor, a T-sign, the raffle. We're doing a huge igloo ice chest filled of the most premium liquors, so they can buy a raffle ticket and they don't need to be present from there. They can do a donation, and they could also register for the kickoff party, which is here at Vincent's in Metairie Sunday night, the night before the golf tournament, from 6 to 9. It's $60 per person in the cash bar.
Well, that sounds fun as well. Also, if you need
We also have a parade of prizes, and we've gotten some really good, a lot of the golf courses around, and also Grand Bear in Biloxi have given us rounds of golf to put on our parade of prizes.
Well, thank you, ladies, for sharing that with us.
Yes, and Drago, and I do want to say, I have to give a plug.
Go ahead.
You got 2 minutes. We got two minutes left.
All right, Crown Buick, Scott Sparks, and Todd Lamont have been very generous in giving us a car to put on the 14th hole for the hole-in-one. So we will have a car from Crown Buick.
Sweet.
Oh, well, that's awesome. And if you need more information, you can call Kim at 504-606-7328. Ladies, I'm excited about this. And once again, we're big fans of Cancer Crusaders. And
we do know Stacy is a big worker for us. She does help us out a lot.
Oh, yeah, she was telling me we've got to go to the Vincent's on Sunday night event, and then she's going to be at the golf course that Monday as well. So she's truly excited. Once again, big supporters of Cancer Crusaders.
Wait, so the Vincent Sunday night was the one with the basket that had all the top shelf in it, the raffle for that, or was that at the golf tournament? Where was the top shelf raffle?
The raffle is at the golf tournament. You can do it at the bidpal.net/ccgolf. And the winner does not need to be present. So you can do it online. You can come out to the golf course. We'll be selling tickets at the kickoff party.
All right. Well, I know where I'm going.
You're going to the kickoff party?
I'm going to go bid on the top shelf basket kickoff party. I might have my own kickoff party if I win that raffle. Thank you very much, ladies. That's Jackie
Thank
and
you.
Kim.
Thank you.
And their website, cancercrusadersla.com, covers all that stuff we just talked about. But the one for the golf tournament that you're concerned about right now, bidpal.net/ccgolf. bidpal.net/ccgolf. You know, it's a great reminder of over the last year how everyone's run around with the chicken with their head cut off and making sure that they're going to be okay and making sure they're all right. Is their business going to survive? Are they going to be able to make it to work or whatever? There's still people out there that are helping others more than they're worried about themselves. That's a great feeling of normalcy coming from having charity events again. So I'm glad this is happening. I don't even play golf, but I like going to golf charity events.
Yeah, and the event I talked about, and we always sponsor a table every fall, and that is the Celebration of Life Luncheon, and they honor cancer survivors at that. There's a big auction and maybe something to put on your calendar for September 24th, 2021, and we'll be giving you more information regarding the cause for that event later.
Literally curing cancer. Yeah. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're winning it live with Gregory Ricks.
One of the things I want to encourage you to get to is change your thinking. Why are you paying ordinary income tax on most or all of your retirement money? And think about this. If your money's going in the IRAs, 401ks, the traditional side, not the Roth, traditional, you know how that is taxed, James, don't you?
Yeah. All is ordinary income, right?
All is ordinary income. And it's a nice deal on putting money into those because you can do so pre-tax or tax deductible in that case, but you're growing money for Uncle Sam as well. So it's going to come out taxed and all that growth is taxed. So think about this. Maybe we should think about how can we create some money that's going to be taxed less or not taxed at all. So that's why I was encouraging that download. But I think it's another reason to sign up for the webinar.
The No Compromise webinar.
The No Compromise webinar that we're holding in a few, I say a few weeks, but when we've got it coming up a few days, April 5th, April 7th and April 8th. There's a time each day, and you can go to gregoryricks.com and look at the blue ribbon and sign up for that. We've got a special guest joining me on the webinar, Marty Ruby and Becky Swansburg. You'll be amazed.
That's such a serious name for a tax webinar, though, the No Compromise tax webinar, where we're going to put you in like the octagon with an IRS agent and only one person gets to come out alive.
Yeah, we'll just... Instead, you just compromise and pay more in taxes.
Oh, no. That's not one of the options. Give me the octagon. I'll put my money on Gregory. All right. So, the No Compromise webinar, that's what that little blue banner popping up at the bottom of gregoryricks.com is. It really is easy to sign up for it. And if you're not really tech savvy, don't worry. You stick your email address in there, and that means you're going to be emailed a link right before the webinar starts where you open it, you click it, and it should pop up on your screen. Just seriously, it should work that easily. You might have to turn up your volume. We have no control over that, but we've got it down to a science at this point. Yeah, so this one was from last Saturday's show, and a little bit different twist on a question we get a lot. I have a little extra money. Which debt should I pay off first? I always like this discussion. This is a good one.
Firth in Uptown, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Hey, fellas, a long-time listener, second-time caller, I think.
Awesome.
So no fanfare for a second time caller. But hey, I got two mortgages. I got a house uptown, about 800 on it, paying a 10-year note, 2.65. And I got a pied-à-terre up in New York City. I owe about 90 at 3.5. Not much. I don't know how much time's left on the mortgage, so whatever. You know, how much time's left to pay off the 90. going to pay about $1,800 a month on that. I'm coming into a little bit of money, about $1.50. I'd like to keep 50 in cash because I think, I mean, I'm just driving on Magazine Street. I think the economy is really getting ready to take off. We got Uncle Joe's putting checks in bank accounts and shots in arms. So my question is, I got 100K. Where would you pay off the place up in New York City, or would you put it toward our residence?
You're looking to pay it off either way. Is that the case? You're paying off something.
I got 100. Yeah, I got 100 in cash. I could pay off the New York apartment, or I could just knock 100 off of the our residence. What would y'all do?
Are you keeping that apartment long term?
Yeah. It'll be paid off too. So then, even less reason to. I mean, the maintenance. Maintenance is a little high. It's about $1,200 a month. The maintenance charges, but we like to go up to see shows and stuff like that. And I got some. I let some of my relatives. Well, not now because of COVID, but. I had friends go use it and such.
What do you think, Dwayne, from a credit utilization standpoint?
I mean, if I'm him, if he's got the 100 grand, the 800K on a 10-year term, I mean, that 100 grand, I mean, that'd be great. But, yeah, 2.625. So leave that alone. You're stealing. The 3.5, I mean, you know, without getting into your whole financial situation, but you come, I mean, take the 100K, get rid of it, and you're done with that. It's at zero, and then you're good to go. You said you wanted to keep 50K, so unless you're past due or got debts all, you know, lining up on other stuff, then to me that would be the best way to go about it. That 2.625 on your primary residence is just that 100K. It's not going to make a difference. Do biweekly payments and get rid of the thing that much quicker, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
We only have one. We got an EIDL loan. That's 40K, but you know, I don't see any sense in paying that thing off. It's 30 years unsecured against the our LLC. So I don't see any rush to pay that thing off. Right? Is that your feeling on the EIDL loan?
I don't know what an EIDL loan is.
The emergency disaster loan. It's one of the federal programs.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'd leave that away.
Yep. Yeah, you're solid on that.
Absolutely.
Just pay that over time. I mean, it's a 30-year loan. It's winding up being like $150 a month in the payment. So
yeah, you're not feeling that. You're not feeling that at all. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, and also thank you to member of the Total Wealth Authority, Dwayne Stein, who gave an assist on that segment there.
Yeah, he's a monthly contributor on our Saturday show. And that was an interesting take. I like Dwayne's take on that. I agree as well, just to go ahead and knock out that $100,000. That was the higher interest rate. And he could apply it to that mortgage, but it would felt like he didn't do anything there because he still has the other $700,000 with payments and he would still have the $100K owed on the apartment. It just makes sense just to knock out that debt. And once again, we're going to look down the road and look back at 2.3% money. Mm-hmm. See, man, that was stealing back then.
Especially in the day. The inflation that's about to happen.
Yeah. And we had the caller yesterday that was asked my take on inflation going forward. And he said, could we have Carter type inflation? And I asked for a wide moat on that and said, give me 4 decades, and I think it shows up somewhere in there. I just don't want to be pinned to it, say, in the next decade, but I do think we're going to have inflation, and the feds may work it to where we have significant. One of the main reasons, we keep rolling up ridiculous debt. So if we inflate the money, what does it do? It shrinks the debt, makes everything look better. So it would not surprise me for that. And I think we're going to see it somewhere in our future.
We'll talk about what do you pay off first? What if it was a situation where you had a rental house and a primary house, and those are your only two properties, and you just inherited $100,000? I love having these discussions because when they call on the show, I don't know which way you're going to go.
Well, if they're both $100,000, then I'm going to pay off the highest interest rate first. But other things have to line up. Do I have emergency savings? Do I have an adequate amount? And he had 50, he wanted to keep 50K on the side. His balance sheet and everything looked good. It's just, which do I go on the debt? Well, you knock out one way to look at it, you can say, well, you also pick the higher interest rate, but you also pick the one that was impacting him with debt and payment, but you were able to make a bill, so to speak, go away first. Could he make the $800,000 go away with the $100,000?
No, not at all.
No, right. But he could make the $100,000 one go away. So that worked really good in that case. Hey, we had a discussion recently on a topic I wanted to talk about last night, didn't get to, but net unrealized appreciation. And sometimes when you look at that, and one of the things when people are rolling over 401ks, typically inside of that, they're holding company stocks. Sometimes too much there. And that could actually hurt a portfolio when it's overweighted and goes the wrong way, meaning it goes down. You know, stocks can do that. So you have to think about that. And you should be careful about overweighting that stock. But with that said, if you are holding that stock and now are thinking of separating the company or moving that money out of that plan, and it's even money where you've left the job and that money's still there, and you're looking to roll over that money away from that 401k, say, to a rollover IRA account, and you have company stock, here's a question that should come up. Do I have a net unrealized appreciation opportunity? And to explain that a little bit, it's kind of about the stock that you bought back in the day or you've been accumulating over time. Typically, what we're looking for on that is, let's say the stock's selling at $100 a share, but over the years you've been accumulating it and you bought it as little as $5 a share back in the day. So when you're looking at net unrealized appreciation opportunity, what you're looking at, can I go and take that 379 shares that I bought back in the day for $5 a share, can I go and take those shares, pay the tax on it at $5, and then when I roll over the plan, that equivalent of stock moves over to a non-qualified account or after-tax account and separate it from my 401k. So one of the reasons to look at net unrealized appreciation opportunity and shift some money that's tax favorable to you, meaning you're only paying tax on $5 a share worth it instead of $100 a share, which it's priced at, because you're not having to sell the stock. So you pay the stock tax on that, what you bought back in the day. And when you do the rollover, that's separated out. The qualified money moves over to the rollover IRA and you put the non-qualified stock now into a brokerage account, after tax brokerage account. When you sell that stock, you're then paying a long-term capital gain on that tax. Depending on your tax bracket, could be anywhere from 0 to a max of 20% at this time. But what you've got to look at in a discussion we had recently was looking at the values of what was paid for the stock. And I believe in this conversation, it was something like $50 a share purchase price versus the stock value at $135. And this was a case where somebody's holding, say, $250,000 in company stock. And of course, well, do I roll it all over? And I said, you know, it's not about do you roll it all over. It's about the tax bite. Because if you are selling a portion of it, it's the portion that you have to pay taxes on. If you're going to do NUA and pay the tax on all of it, you know, think of a quarter of $1 million. What would that tax bill be like? 60K?
Right.
70K is like, can you afford that? Oh, no, I can't do that. See, it's the tax bite. It might, typically the conversations range in, do you want to shift 25,000 in value or 50,000 in value or 10,000 in value and pay the equivalent? And the 50,000 in current value might have cost you $10,000 back in the day. And if you're, say, 30% tax bracket, that's $3,000 in tax to shift over $50,000 in value. Then you've got a capital gain tax on the other 40. But to have a tax bill on $50,000, that's a whole different conversation of shifting a much larger amount. And that's part of what that decision always is. And because of that, then you're looking at what are the total, okay, if I pay a tax on that, then I pay the capital gain tax, what is my tax bill versus what if I was just taking it as distributions in the future? So sometimes depending on where you bought it at versus the value of it now, there may not be much tax advantage to make that decision or not. And then that would be if a plan, for example, James, gave you the option of buying it or paying the tax on the lower price. Some plan rules say, no, you can't just choose a portion of it. If you're going to do a NUA opportunity, you have to do it on the whole whole stock position. Yikes, I hold too much value there. Or they say, you know, we'll compute it, but we average the NUA out. Well, that doesn't make it a good deal either. So first of all, you have to find out what the plan rules are regarding NUA, and then you have to figure out how much you want to try to bite off on the tax bill and compare that to what would it cost you if you just sold that off through the IRA over time as well. And then that tells you whether or not you should do that. Here's the thing. I think it always should be discussed. You should look at it when you're doing a rollover and holding company stock inside the plan. But I'll also tell you from my experience, it's not often done because there's not enough tax savings there, or it's too big of a tax bite.
Isn't this one of those things that has a clock on it? We had to talk about a clock yesterday.
Oh, yeah. When you do a rollover and want to take advantage of NUA, that all has to be done in the calendar year in which you did the rollover or are planning to do the rollover. So if you take a distribution from a 401k that you have separated from that employer and you take a distribution, even if it's just to take dividends out from it, that's a distribution, and it starts the clock on the NUA opportunity because it has to be done within that calendar year. And once that year expires, there's no longer a net unrealized appreciation opportunity. Good point, James.
504-260-0995. If you got a question, you better get it in soon. Gregory, I have another report. A Ponzi scheme was busted, and the woman behind it got a 15-year sentence. The prosecutors had recommended she got 10 years. The judges said, this is so heinous, I'm going to give even more than the prosecutors recommend. I'm giving her 15 years.
What?
Okay.
Didn't follow guidelines?
Did worse than the guidelines. And this is in California.
So what did she do?
It was a Ponzi scheme. Now, she started out a successful businesswoman. She has a chain of patio restaurants, little cafes. And so as she was growing in the restaurant world, she was growing with her peer group as well. And she was fine when she was just a regular person, but she starts hanging out with the hoity-toities and the richer people, and she wants to be even more rich. So now to chase the almighty dollar even further, she came up with a new business idea that she got her and her new rich friends to invest in. And she may have had good intentions, but the first time that she wasn't able to make a payment and she had to pay off an old investor with a new investor, that just started the cycle going, and she couldn't get out of it until it all fell apart. And so 490 investors later, she had built $372 million And
so what was this? She created an investment scheme or something?
Yeah, and it was with the restaurant community. If you're if you need a bridge loan, you're trying to get your alcohol permits to make your restaurant be able to serve alcohol. Her company was supposed to be able to provide that at a ridiculous interest because these people were hurting and in a pinch, and they would pay her back when they got the alcohol money flowing in. And it just didn't work out the way she thought. But she was also spending about $60 million of it on herself to go traveling and get nice cars and a new house and keeping up with the Joneses, Gregory. Even though she was already a successful businesswoman at age 70, she had to spend her last 7 years running a Ponzi scheme just to keep up with the even bigger Joneses after she was already a success.
Wow. Be careful with that.
All right. If you need a financial advisor, I highly recommend you start with my buddy across the table, Gregory Ricks. Go to gregoryricks.com or call his office directly, 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.